Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1. I'll begin today with verse 21 and continue down through verse 28. Listen with me for the word of the Lord. Jesus went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he went into the synagogue and he began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And one with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." Now news spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee about Jesus. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're excited in the Hill family to have my nephew Connor, who just finished a 4-year service to the United States Army, and we're glad to have him back in, I almost said the States, at least the state of Mississippi. He has served overseas, but has been out in El Paso, Texas for some time now. We're grateful to have him home. Connor's immediate plans are he's going to go to somewhere to further his education, his skill set in the plumbing profession. Now, as we all know, if Connor wants to become a successful plumber, you don't just go out, walk into someone's home, and start pulling wrenches, right? They won't have much confidence in you, and they probably won't compensate you. No, he has figured out that the best way to prepare him for this future profession is to go to school and to learn from someone or a group of individuals who can teach him the trade. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? In a practical sense. But also, as we think about the importance of teaching professionally, as our schools are getting ready to reopen, as some are considering, do we do distance learning? Do we learn in person to person? Do we delay the start of our school? Do we cut it short? All of those questions that are materializing regarding educating our children, there's one question that's not being asked. And that question is, are we going to teach? No. There's no question, because we know how important education, how important teaching is to frame young hearts and minds as leaders in our world. So friends, as we reflect on these importances of teaching this morning in a professional realm, in an educational realm for students, I want us to consider today the importance of teaching in our life of faith. Many of you know that at the beginning of this year, I started a new ministry in concert. In addition to my work at Ripley Presbyterian Church, I began a ministry as the president of Memphis Theological Seminary. That's a place where we embody a teaching ministry. I'll never forget what one of my elders, Norris Howell, said as soon as I phoned him to ask him his opinion of me considering myself as a candidate for that position. He said, "Jody, you have no other choice. God has prepared you, and you have an opportunity to impact so many more ministers who will impact the church. What a high calling. We celebrate that, and we affirm it." You know, Norris inspired me, encouraged me to see even further the importance and the power of teaching. But you know, in our professional worlds, as we spoke of, in our classroom world, and even in our seminary settings, this isn't something new, teaching in the life of our faith. Did you hear in our text today that Jesus used the word teach, And Mark, the gospel writer here in these seven verses, spoke of teaching or one of its derivative five times throughout this first public ministry of Jesus. He's just been baptized. He's gone into the wilderness to be tempted by the evil one. And his very first public act of ministry, Mark tells us, is that he went into the synagogue and he taught. You see, Mark is telling us, and our Lord Jesus is proclaiming, the importance of growing mentally and spiritually, being taught in our faith. So if we understand that Jesus embraced teaching, maybe we ask the question, why is it so central to our faith? You know, one thing I think that's beautiful about the gift of teaching and growing together as we not only preach the word, but we teach the word, it's understanding those two differences. You see, when we preach, we also teach, and when we teach, maybe we preach a little. Preaching, to simplify it on some respect, focuses most of all on our relationship to God. It's proclaiming the good news. It's placing an emphasis on worship, where preaching may emphasize primarily our relationship with God. Teaching emphasizes more our relationship with others. It inspires us. What do we do with this good news? Now that we've heard it, how do we impact others with it? So we embrace humility and say, let me be taught how to change the world through God's love. You know, in this text today, Jesus symbolizes that. He shows us that as he taught, he gave a command to the evil spirit. He taught because he gave instruction and the people listened. We see our call, friends, as the church, not just ministers who teach, not just elders who lead, but every one of us who embrace the Christian faith, we're called to be teachers. Followers, yes, of Christ, disciples, but also those who lead others to the life-transforming love of our Lord. That's what it means when we teach. You see, we teach, if the question is why, because there is a multiplication effect. Have you ever thought about that? You see, when we learn, it's one thing, but when we teach, we spread our learning to others. Here's what I mean. Have you ever considered that if each of us, as Christian followers of Christ, would embrace a call to our faith to minister, to teach to one person for 1 year for the rest of our life, and we encourage each of those people to do the same, just minister to one other person 1 year to help them grow into a relationship with Christ, you know what the impact, the multiplication of that would be? Let's run through it and see what would happen if that was practiced over a lifetime of adulthood. So if we minister to one person for 1 year, I'm going to go through the multiplication real fast. We would go from one person, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 125, 250, 500 people in 10 years, 1,000. 2,000, 4,000, 8,000, 16,000, 32,000, 64,000, 125,000, 250,000, a half a million people in 20 years. 1 million, 2 million, 4 million, 8 million, 16 million, 32 million. This is my investment account. 64 million, 125, 250, over a billion people as we keep going in just 30 years. And you know what would happen in 34 years? We would run out of people. You see, that's why we teach, church. Because there's a multiplication of God's love that goes forth from us as we share it to others. So if we can agree today that Jesus embraced a teaching ministry, it was central to his faith, and he's calling us to also teach and nurture and evangelize and share God's love with others, not only in what we say, but in what we do. The question maybe becomes next then, what do we teach? Well, our scripture tells us today here in Mark chapter 1 that Jesus was one who taught with authority. So maybe as we hear that passion proclamation by the gospel writer Mark, we may think, well, we teach like Jesus, right? I remember having that question in seminary, and I've shared this story with some of you. One of my favorite professors, Dr. Paul Brown, he spoke and he said, you know, Jesus taught with authority in his preaching and pastoring, but we need to be more suggestive, more humble in our preaching. And I said, why, Dr. Brown? If Jesus taught that way, why don't we teach with authority and say, this is the way it is, there's no gray area, this is the answer. He said, you're right, Jody, Jesus did teach that way, but here's the difference. You're not Jesus. You see, we approach our teaching with humility. And we do preach, as I titled our sermon this morning, with authority. But the authority, dear church, we teach and preach is not ourselves. Our own intellect, our own opinions, our own positions. Know what we teach. The authority we proclaim is Jesus Christ and His love. You see, that's what we teach. We teach Christ. We teach His love. We teach His grace. I want to end this morning by telling you a story. Some of you may have heard that the Millennium Tower in San Francisco, a huge condominium, 48 stories, is shrinking. It's leaning. It's almost crumbling within itself after just over 10 years being built. It's leaning. It's shrinking. Sinking. And what they found out is, at construction, those who built the tower drove the pilings down through the foundation about 90 foot into the San Francisco soil. While that's a deep drive of those pilings searching to stabilize the building, those who build other similar structures in that area drive their concrete piles, their places of foundation, all the way into the bedrock of the earth. You see, they understand that we must have a firm foundation if the structure is to be immovable. Well, dear friends, as we wrestle with the question of what do we teach as Christian people, maybe that little story and our text today reminds us the question shouldn't be so much, how do we teach? Or what do we teach? The question should be, who do we teach? We teach the one whose foundation is immovable. We teach the one who will be our rock of stability, far greater than the Millennium Tower's foundation. We teach the life-giving love of Jesus Christ. May we daily, as His disciples, live out our faith in a way that is contagious, that multiplies Christ's love to all around, that the whole world would possibly come to the saving knowledge of His grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your life-giving love. We embrace Your high calling to teach those around us what we've been taught, that Your grace is without end, that Your love is eternal, that You are the hope in a hopeless world. We pray this day for our churches, for our nation, for our state. We pray for all who hold authority and power over others. Will You guide them, O God, in Your ways to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly in Your way. We pray for the sick and the hurting, for our family and friends, from those who are estranged from us and You. Would You bring healing and wholeness and restoration? We pray for those You've called us to minister to, who are closest to us. We ask, O God, that You would bring restoration, whether the illness be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, relational, or professionally. And now, God, as Your children, we pray together the very words you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, dear church, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance, his gaze upon you, and give you peace now and forever. Amen.